Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan. Imran, how's it going, dude?
It's going okay. I'm trying to figure out if growing a quarantine beard is a thing you do, or that's actually unhealthy.
See, so I'm actually in the process, because I've decided, I know advice has said, hey, don't grow a beard because that'll make you more prone to being sick, but I figure, hey, you only live once. Am I right, Imran? Go hard or go home. I'm growing the full beard. Right now, people can't see me, but I look kind of like, what's his name? Tim Allen and then Santa Claus. Was
that, okay, is that that's the right reference? That is a reference. I don't know that's a reference I would go for, but that works.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at right now. But no, I am doing the thing, though. Like, in all seriousness, I'm doing the thing where I haven't been shaving. And I just want to see where this will go, because I haven't really done that. Like, I've not really done the thing where I'm like, I'm not going to shave for, let's say, 3 weeks. Usually I'm very regular in my shaving habits. But I kind of want to see now that I'm not going to be outside much. And so that's kind of my plan currently.
I kind of just like the idea of emerging from quarantine with like a foot long beard.
Yeah.
And just being like, how long has it been? What year is it?
I really liked season 5 Rick in The Walking Dead, where it was like the season where he said the quote, like, we are the Walking Dead, right? He comes out of like a barn looking like Abraham from the Bible. I'm trying to get that kind of beard. We're gonna see.
That might be ambitious, but Godspeed.
How's the quarantine treating you? This is your first time this is your second time actually doing a KF podcast via Zencaster, via the internet, because we did the Doom Eternal review yesterday, which people can check out today, this morning, because it's up right now. Are you hanging in there?
I work from home for 3 years. Like, this is just, to me, I feel like, oh, I'm the expert here. Everyone else is coming into my world. I've already lived this life. And the sign of the times for me yesterday was when I ordered dinner. And they didn't ask. They just put the dinner outside and then told me it was there. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah. Are you stocked up? Because I've been hearing things about toilet paper being out of stock.
Though I smartly, once I saw this was going bad, I was like, I should go to the grocery store right now and just stock up on a bunch of things. I don't have a lot of... I don't know that I have 3 weeks worth of things, but I have 3 weeks worth of toilet paper. And so I'm good on that end, at least.
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad you're doing good, but today we're not going to talk about toilet paper. Today's stories include Nintendo's Indie World Stream, incoming PlayStation 5 news, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Our Doom Eternal review is live now. Like I said earlier, you can check that out on your Gamescast feed or on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. It's me, Imran, Andy, and a rare Nick appearance on Gamescast to talk about Doom Eternal, all our thoughts with it. We'll talk later in the show about the Doom review roundup, because we have that as a new story. Also, we were supposed to host the core reveal party stream this week on Kinda Funny, but working from home means that can't happen. So what we'll do is we'll do a big stream where we play Core with you and build multiplayer games, but that isn't happening this week. Instead, support Core. They're in alpha, and you can sign up to create your own multiplayer games and play them instantly with the world. Go to coregames.com to get in the alpha, get creating, and get ready for our stream. Plus, you can catch the team streaming on twitch.tv/core live. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Momo, Drew Gardner, Blackjack, and the Kinda Funny Destiny 2 PC clan. Today, we're brought to you by Hims and Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting off with number 1. By the way, good job, Kevin. You bodied that.
Yeah, that's like there's some echo here, which is great, I think, for that A Baker's Dozen.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what it needs.
Yeah, I figured that out, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to go hard on this one.
It's a real Michael Buffer. Like, you could totally ready to rumble right now.
Let's start with number one. Let's recap Nintendo's Indie World stream. Imran, were you able to tune in for this one?
I did. I just watched it.
Nice. What were your overall thoughts on it?
Sleepy. It, like, in comparison to last year, it wasn't as good, but... There was a lot of little cool games, but nothing that like leapt out at me like, oh shit, they're doing that. Or, oh man, this is coming, or this indie game is coming. It's like a lot of, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. I will probably buy that when it comes out, maybe.
That's kind of where me, Greg, and Tim kind of came down on it, was like, you look back at last year, and it feels like they had more, crap, this looks amazing kind of announcements, you know, being things like Cuphead coming to Switch, or... Cadence of Hyrule, like there are more of those moments, whereas like this one, like it wasn't like a bad stream by any means. Like there was a good amount of diverse, you know, different, like it was a good good diverse amount of games here, right? Between the Cyanide and Happiness game and Quantum League and The Last Campfire, like there are like a lot of great looking games here, Exit the Gungeon. But overall, like it was one of those things where either like, you know, quite a few of these games we've already heard about. And then I feel like for the other ones, it was like, yeah, like these look like fun games. Like nothing really leapt out as crazy.
Yeah, like Good Life, for example, is a game I thought was coming to Switch. So when they showed more of it, I'm like, was this not announced already? Or did we not assume this is coming? But I guess it wasn't. And that it's cool to have that confirmation. But you could have given me that confirmation in a tweet, honestly, and I would have been fine.
Yeah, I felt a similar way about quite a few of these, but let's go through each of them, right? So they start off with Blue Fire, announced by Graffiti Games. It's an iNinja looking game, which actually might be my favorite takeaway from this indie stream.
Yeah.
Like, I really like how Blue Fire looked. I was like big into iNinja back in, it was like a PS2 GameCube game. I don't know if you remember iNinja.
I think I owned a GBA version or something really? Like that. Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting version to own of that game. But yeah, it's basically like a 3D platformer where you play as like a cute ninja. That's what iNinja is. In Blue Fire, I don't know if you're a ninja specifically, but you are like a cute, like, I'd have to rewatch it, but it might be like a samurai kind of character. But yeah, you're a cute like platforming character doing some like third person action type stuff. Looks fun, looks interesting. Bio Graffiti Games is coming out summer 2020. They then went on to show off Baldo by Naps Team, which is an open world action RPG. That's coming out summer 2020. And like, most of these, if not all of these, are timed exclusive for Switch.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool to see.
Are console timed exclusive. That's important wording, because it still means you could have it on mobile and you could have it on Steam, but you can't have it on PS4 or Xbox One quite yet.
Yes, exactly. They also showed off I Am Dead, developed by Hollow Ponds, published by Annapurna, coming out 2020, which looked pretty cool.
Like, yeah, that's a cool concept. I'm interested in that game.
Yeah, Annapurna, I feel like, has that name where if their name is on a game, you know to pay attention to it.
Like, I've talked to their publishing arm before, and honestly, a lot of their reasoning for what games they pick is, this sounds interesting. Like, this is not what anything else is like on the market. So they go for that sort of stuff. And I think that's honestly a really good way to be an indie publisher, is go for this stuff that no one else is looking at. And sometimes you're going to hit it out of the park, like Outer Wilds or what was that recent one?
Were they Goose Game? Was Goose Game?
No, that was... God, I forgot the name. It's the same people who do the new little handheld thing.
Oh.
The Game of Day.
Like the... I know what you're talking about. Like the Crank thing?
Yes. It's those guys, like, they don't publish games that often, but they saw the Goose Game and like, let's publish this.
Nice. But yeah, Annapurna does have like a good portfolio, you know, between Outer Wilds and I believe they were What Remains of Edith Finch. Yeah, I'm gonna type in Annapurna because I know, one, I don't want to get it wrong, but also like I know they have quite a few, like they have a good diversity of games over there. Also kind of funny.com/ you're wrong me if what remains of Edith Finch is an Annapurna. But Bark by Interstellar Arc by TikTok Games is also shown off. It's a couch multiplayer shoot 'em up coming out late 2020.
Looks cute, but doesn't look that all that interesting, but whatever. Yeah. I mean, games don't need to necessarily be interesting, they just need to be good.
It seems like it could be a fun like they, I mean, they advertise it as a couch multiplayer game, and I feel like maybe getting your hands on it in that environment can make it really shine in a way that watching it in a trailer doesn't really make it shine. I could see that game ending up being fun, but yeah, I'm with you that like upon first viewing in during this Nintendo Indie World stream, it didn't necessarily jump out at me.
Yeah,
but I do like the name and the style of it being like Bark, and then you're playing as like pets.
Yeah, I want more dog games.
Same. Then there was Cyanide and Happiness Freakpocalypse coming out summer 2020, which I am intrigued by. I want to play it. I don't know if in reality I'm going to play it, but it gave me South Park Stick of Truth vibes, which is never a bad thing for me.
That was my first reaction to it. Was like, okay, I like the comic, and like I like the comic when I see it. I never sought the comic out, but look at that. I was like, okay, this could be reasonably funny. But the trailer didn't give me a good sense of it. It just like, okay, this is like South Park. Sure, let's go for it.
Yeah. And then we have Summer in Mara, which is coming out spring 2020.
That was the one that was most intriguing to me.
Well, like, what intrigued you about it?
I don't know. It looks super cute, and it looked like a fun little romp. And I was like, okay, I can truck with this. It didn't look like anything else that they showed in that indie reel. It looked like just a fun, positive, pleasant game.
Yeah, it looks like it looked like maybe like an Animal Crossing-ish, Zelda-ish, like Oceanhorn type of game. Like it struck all those notes with me, which are like all good things. And so I'm curious to see like what kind of splash it makes when it comes out, because it seems like from what it's doing stylistically and the vibes that it's going for, it seems like it could strike a similar vibe and tone with people that like those types of games.
This was a good direct for cute games. Like if you like cute games, this was all about that.
Well, one of the things that me, Tim, and Greg talked about in our reaction was it seemed like a lot of these games are Apple Arcade games. Like there seems to be
thus the wording.
And I don't know if it's a thing where games are coming out on Apple Arcade and now because it's the spring after, games are now shifting to Switch, or if it's a thing where developers are feeling more inspired to make mobile games that cross over into console games, like mobile games that don't have the stigma of mobile games, if that makes sense. Like I don't know if that's what developers are going for, but there does seem to be like a certain vibe or like a certain consistency of like cuteness going on in the games, which I'm not going to complain about because I'm into a cute game.
I mean, if you look at what sells on Switch in terms of indie games, like cuteness is one of those things that tends to work out quite well, especially, I mean, even just indie games in general. Plus, if like the Apple Arcade crossover, I think is, I don't know how those contracts are worded, but I would not be shocked if they specifically exclude PC and Switch.
That's actually a good point.
If they say like, okay, you can't put it on Android, but you can put it on like consoles and PC. Switch seems to be the best place to sell indie games right now, aside on consoles, and obviously PC is like an open market where you can either achieve huge success or not be known at all, but that seems like the best spread, like because Apple will pay you for your game and everyone else you can just sell it.
Next up, they showed off Quantum League, which I played. Is a game that's been around before, that like I think like it's been at PAXs and stuff, and it's basically a shooter, like an arena shooter that has a time mechanic where you go in rounds, and then like say you do a thing your first round, the second round that same loop happens, but now you're coming through and you're basically participating in that same first round loop, but you're adding to it. I've heard great things about it. I've never tried it, and I've always wanted to try this game, and the fact that it's coming out to Switch is really cool.
Yeah, I played the beta on PC, and like it was really interesting. I don't know that it, no I it, it's really interesting. I would love to see the meta that comes out of it. But yeah. I'm very curious how that will play on Switch.
And then we have The Good Life, which is a game where you play as pets, and you solve mysteries.
Yeah,
I guess it's coming out 2020.
Yeah, that's Swery's new game. I'm interested in that game just because it's Swery. But again, like they've been talking about that game for about 2.5 to 3 years now. So at this point I just put it out and I want to play it. That's it.
And then after, we had The Last Campfire by Hello Games coming out summer 2020, which is one we've seen before. And every time I see a trailer for it, I can't get the fact that it looks so much like Journey out of my head.
Yeah.
Like it looks just like a cute Journey.
They announced that, I think, Game Awards 2018, possibly 2019. But yeah, it was. It looks really cool. I hope. I like it when indie game. And this is so blatantly emotionally manipulative. I like it when indie games have this like song that they've written specifically for the game. That like they have a very like nice, soothing woman crooning a.
Oh, like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like the thing that got me to love Transistor, basically.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The game looks cool. Like, what are your thoughts on this game as the, and follow up feels like the wrong word to use in this case because it doesn't really seem like it's them trying to follow up on it, but it being their next game after No Man's Sky. What's your take on that?
It's interesting because like if it was a year and a half ago, you would never have Sean Murray out there introducing this. It would have just been like that other guy just saying he's a designer and like that's it. So it speaks to how like they've earned a lot of trust back, and that's good for them as a company, as a developer, that they can go like, yeah, we're the developers of No Man's Sky, what of it, bitch? And
yeah,
that'll allow them to just do these quirky little ideas and slowly earn back more and more trust of. Yeah, we were the Joe Danger guys, too. We weren't just No Man's Sky. We've made smaller games before. Believe in us that we can do something cool.
What do you feel like, and this is a question that we're not going to have the answer to, but I just want, like, for speculation's sake, right? What do you feel like their vision is as a studio? Because they've had such an interesting arc between, yeah, starting off with Joe Danger and Joe Danger 2, going on to No Man's Sky, which is, like, a big, like, I mean, gigantic, right? 18 quintillion planets, something like that. Like procedurally generated open world survival game, and then going back, or not even going back, but then pivoting to something that is seems to be like a cute narrative, kind of serene, no to little dialogue kind of experience, like this type of indie game. Do you feel like Last Campfire they're developing in response to maybe the reaction in No Man's Sky, or do you feel like this is just them as a studio being like, hey, we're going to do whatever the fuck we want?
I don't think it's specifically the reaction, but I do think there is some degree of going like, yeah, the response to No Man's Sky scared us. Like, that it was so much more work than they thought it was going to be. People reacted so much more viscerally than they thought that they had to kind of go, like, I'm sure this game was, like, in planning stages when they were making No Man's Sky before they got the death threats and all that stuff, but I think this is them going, okay, we've made these kind of games before, let's just make the game we want to make and not worry about everyone's expectations that are currently on us. Let's just make the game that we feel is right for this moment. And this does seem like it a very personal, interesting game to them.
Yeah, like I feel like the natural progression I would have expected from them would be to make another first person survival game or No Man's Sky 2 or like some sort of iteration on the idea, like on the grand ideas that they had for No Man's Sky. But I think this almost feels like a smarter decision to be like, hey, we're going to just make something small and intimate, and you're not going to look at it through the lens that you looked at you would have on after that experience of releasing No Man's Sky. You're going to look at it through its own lens because this is such a unique thing from what we just made. Nobody's really criticizing or this game is not coming under scrutiny, you know, it coming right from Hello Games, which I think is something about it.
No one is going to have all the expectations on the world on The Last Campfire. They'll just be like, yeah, oh, this is a cute little game.
Yeah. Next up, we saw Pixel Junk Eden 2 coming out summer 2020, which is one that Tim Geddes is really excited about. It looks pretty cool.
It's been 11 years since our last Pixel Junk Eden. So I'm excited for a new one.
Has it really been that long?
2008, I think, was when the last game was released.
That's crazy. I actually hadn't heard of Eden, but it looked cool. Like, the trailer made me super into what was going on.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. I think that was probably the most... That probably should have been the in one more thing mention.
Yeah.
But it's still a... It looks very cool. Of the games that were in this, I think this would be probably the one that I'd be most likely to like pre-order or like buy immediately.
After that, we had Feria, which was like a Hearthstone looking game coming out March 2020.
I thought it was Hearthstone at first. I was like, "Does when did Hearthstone get like a hex thing?" But no, just very similar cards.
Yeah, yeah. And then Eldest Souls coming out summer 2020, which I didn't really like. I didn't understand what the game was by the time the trailer ended. Partly because I was like in my phone taking notes because things were going by pretty quickly.
It's but a Souls also, boss like, rush.
Yeah, that's like it. by the time you get to the end screen and it said Eldest Souls, I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna be like an indie Souls game. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that like everyone just feels the need to put the word Souls in there just so you know what you're getting. But
like even like Dead Cells, which is a game I absolutely love, like it's the word Cells still kind of invokes like the Souls thing. Like it's still like a close enough word that you can tell that they wanted to kind of invoke some of that. And so I think I found it pretty interesting.
We're at the point where they can stop doing that probably. Like, it's been enough years. Dark Souls itself was also a decade old. We can move on to with the genre just being a genre without necessarily invoking the name in the title. We don't still have a good name for the genre. We still call it a Souls-like, but
it's true.
We can move on from the title. Stay putting it in there.
Yeah, like, it's not like when Guacamelee came out, it wasn't called Guacavania or, like, Castle Melee.
Yes.
Like,
it did have Chozo statues, but
that's true. But I wonder at what point do we move past that, like having to put Souls in your name for people to understand that it is a Souls game. Then up next we had an indie reel, and I didn't catch every single game. I think I missed one or two, but basically they showed off Sky, Blair Witch, Sky Switch, Wingspan, Dicey Dungeons, Bounty Battle, and Moving Out, and then a couple others. But like, for me, and then they ended with Exit the Gungeon, that which is out later today. And for me, like I said this on the reaction, I feel like Sky would have been a better thing to maybe end with, since that game is only on mobile currently. Yeah, I mean,
there's a PS4 port coming, so maybe they just thought like, oh well, it's not console exclusive, so we can't really do anything with it, so it's not really that interesting for this video.
Yeah, but Exit the Gungeon, so them closing off with that, I thought was one. Exit the Gungeon, I'm not like going to complain about it because like it looks like a cool game. I know a lot of people love Enter the Gungeon. And Ron, do you know Exit the Gungeon, did it already come out for like arcade or something? Because I could have sworn. Yes,
it was an Apple Arcade launch game.
Apple Arcade. That's what it was. In my mind, yes. I had it in like an actual arcade and I was like, that doesn't sound right. But yeah, Apple Arcade, that's where I heard it from.
I mean, there was like, I'm sure you went like at PAX or something, you saw like the arcade setup they had for it there. But yeah, it was an Apple Arcade launch game.
I want to say I had it conflated because I think Devolver Digital at E3 announced like an arcade thing.
Yes, you're right. There was,
and I think that's why I had it mixed up.
Yeah, I don't specifically remember what that was, but I know what you're talking about. I know why you were getting confused.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You have more clarification on what that was. But yeah, overall, like it was like a good stream. Right, like I can never really complain about like a good handful of indies like being shown off by Nintendo, because like no matter what, like as long as like the games seem cool and seem diverse and all this stuff, like I'm gonna have a good time. But yeah, at the end of the day, I do wish that they had like that one more. I wish the one more thing was a bit more like had a bit more pop, right? Or I wish like even Nintendo did do the thing more where I know last year when they gave Zelda to the developers of the Cadence Hyrule game. I forget what their actual game is called.
Braced Yourself. Game
before it. What was that?
Braced Yourself Games.
Oh yes, yeah. When Nintendo gave Zelda to them, I know a lot of people were kind of hoping that they would do that more often, right? Like I would love, and this is very specific and very big, and this wouldn't happen at least like right now, maybe in the future, but like Earthbound be given to Toby Fox, or like, you know, even something more unique like Mario being given to the Celeste developer, Matt Mix Games, or something like that, right? Like, I would love to see more of that, but you know,
I don't think they'll ever do a thing. They'll probably never do make the same genre game like where it would be confusing, so they would never like give Matt Thorson Mario and say like make a Celeste game, but they would, I think, like they would probably like play around with genres like Cadence of Hyrule. It's be like, okay, you make this kind of game, what if you had like, they wouldn't make Wargroove Advance Wars, but maybe they'd name Wargroove and here's Samus in it or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that, and I wouldn't,
but number two. Like I mean, this whole indie thing, it's when you think about how this was supposed to be a GDC event, and the way this usually works is they put us in a hotel and then like tell us, hey, here's the guys that are actually making these games, now go play the games and interview them. This makes more mm-hmm. sense. Removed from that, it seems a lot weaker and a lot sleepier.
Yeah, I feel that. I can see that. Number two, we have new PlayStation 5 info coming. This comes from PlayStation's Twitter. They tweeted out earlier today, quote, tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time, that's tomorrow, March 18th, PS5 lead system architect Mark Cerny will provide a deep dive into PS5's system architecture and how it will shape the future of games. Watch tomorrow at PlayStation blog. And then PSLWXOXO is recording tomorrow after the news, so stay tuned for that from Kinda Funny. But yeah, we got new PlayStation 5 info coming. Imran, do you have any sort of expectations for what we might see?
I assume this is going to be basically the equivalent of what the PS4 conference, like the beginning of that conference was, when it was Mark Cerny just like standing on stage and saying 8 gigs of GDDR5.
Yeah.
And then being like, just kind of going in like, look at all these pixels in a box that can, or, you know, the thing he says about those games or the system. And it's going to be mostly impenetrable. But I think, like, they'd be crazy if they're not already, like, partnering with Digital Foundry to explain what this means to a layman.
Yeah. Dude, Digital Foundry is having a week, because I'm for sure expecting, like, a video coming tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning from them specifically that's, like, 20 minutes long about, like, all the different things. Because, like, the timing of it, I think, is curious, but, like, I don't necessarily have the... Like, I don't have the tinfoil hat on right now, and I'm not necessarily thinking that this is in direct response to Xbox dropping their news yesterday, but I do think that tomorrow's stream will probably be them catching up to what Xbox has been kind of saying and kind of bringing them up, like bringing up PlayStation to a similar place as far as how information has kind of been disseminated up to this point.
Yeah. In the information vacuum, they're actually kind of way behind at this point, which is like reasonable. Things are crazy right now, so it makes sense that plans are out of whack. But it does seem like this is them going, okay, we're not going to... I think this is more a response to Phil Spencer's blog a couple of weeks ago than it is the thing from this week.
Yes, I agree. A Quirk of Fate writes in and says, PS5 is ready to share more of what we have to look forward to. Do you think this is because they see Xbox is driving the agenda at the moment? Or is it that now they kind of know what Series X has to offer? They're confident enough in PS5 to reveal its stats. Hope you are all staying well, Quirk of Fate. Thank you, Quirk of Fate.
So the rumors have been for a while that Sony is not coming out with as strong a box as Microsoft is. And granted, we have no idea if that's true. Like, this, it's literally just rumors. But, like, I think Microsoft is catching up on a deficit they had at the beginning of last generation, where they had the more expensive but weaker box. And Phil Spencer has outright said the words, we're never going to come out weaker and more expensive, which assumes that they're going to fix both those things. That said, we'll find out. I mean, I assume what Mark Cerny is going to tell us tomorrow are things like GPU, processor, things that will give us a good idea of who has a stronger box. But also it might be a situation where like they are so similar, or we're at an inflection point that it doesn't even matter who has a stronger box at this point, if they're both roughly similar enough.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the idea that, you know, the timing for them now is right with Xbox having come out with the blogs and stuff a few weeks ago, given the quote we had from, or quotes we've had from PlayStation. I can't remember if these were rumored quotes or actually confirmed quotes, but we've heard them pretty much say that we're waiting for Xbox to go.
As far as price goes, yes.
Yeah, as far as price goes, and like I think as far like I could see that then translating to the rest of their strategy. Like last time around for PS4 and Xbox One, right? Like PlayStation went first in terms of like the initial reveal, and then they kind of went after, like they kind of sandwiched Xbox in terms of information, and so they went first, Xbox went after, and then E3 Xbox went first, and then PS5 or PlayStation went after with the PS4 information and kind of shut them down in that way. I can see them trying to go for that, like that last word moment, like mm-hmm. with even like these with the information kind of race that's going on now. Right now in the race, right, like Xbox is kind of in a good place, and yeah, like I've been seeing quite a few people like on social media and in general, right, like be either not concerned, but feel like PlayStation is kind of tripping up in terms of letting Xbox get out there and speak loudly and speak continually about what the Xbox Series X is going to be. And so for them to come out, for PlayStation to come out now, feels like it's the right timing for sure.
I wish they kind of wouldn't have said we were waiting for the competition, because like it kind of implies like an old school, like it does directly say like, yeah, these are competitions. And yeah. I think like both companies are currently on their back heels. It's not like they're not both pushing forward. Like, this is not a sumo match right now. Everyone is, I know for a fact, Sony was not intending to rule things out this way. They had plans that, and the plans got scuttled because, again, there is a global pandemic, and it is, you can't invite 1,000 or 2,000 people to an area, especially like to one building. Like, how do you, even at this point, like, how do you get writers from San Francisco to somewhere when there's a good chance the airport isn't going to be open soon? Like, it's stuff like that that Sony is actively thinking about right now. I think they would have had an event by now, or at least talked about this more openly. But now they're thinking about how do we do this within the wider global picture, and it's a lot. It's a much harder discussion.
The nanobiologist writes in and says, "Hi, Blessing and Imran. So tomorrow's the big day, and we finally find out what exactly the PS5's potential will be. But how do you think they'll handle it? Technical direct like their Wired articles so far, or do you see them trying to reclaim more old Sony and take jabs at what Xbox has already announced? Are there already any points for Microsoft you think Sony will directly target? Like the rumored all PlayStation games can be played on the PS5 compared to Xbox's curated list. Thanks, the Nanobiologist."
I don't see a situation where they ever do all PlayStation games without caveat can be played on the PS5. I think they will definitely say, like, they'll push the idea of, hey, we're going to do backwards compatibility for every generation except for PS3. But I don't think it's going to be you put a PS2 disc in. I think it's going to be we have more PS2 games. Here's a curated list, like the way the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility works. I think if they take jabs at Xbox tomorrow, it's going to seem real tone deaf. I think they will probably at some point, especially if Microsoft falls down somewhere. But I don't think they can count on the idea anymore of it worked so well for them with the PS4 reveal and the Xbox, you know, tripping on their shoelaces. But they can't, they have to put out the impressive box versus the better box. And that is again, a harder thing to do. I think what they're going to do is they're going to say, this is the future of gaming. Here is why. And I'm excited to find out how they present that message, but I do not believe it is going to be from the old Sony perspective of, here's how you play used games on the PS4. It worked really well in 2013. I don't think it's going to work as well right now.
Yeah, I think things have just changed. E3 being kind of, I mean, not even kind of, E3 being irrelevant this year in the conversation kind of changes things. Like, Xbox and their mindset as a company and as like Phil Spencer, like they're not trying to place themselves in competition directly with PlayStation, even though they are still in competition with PlayStation. Like, there's this weird kind of balance going on of companies trying to do their own thing and exist in their own ecosystem and trying not to be directly competitive while at the same time being directly competitive. I think if PlayStation came out and started throwing jabs at Xbox, like they did in 2013, right now it comes off as petty and comes off as weird, because it is kind of like that the meme of Scarlet Witch in Endgame being like, you took everything from me, and Thanos being like, I don't even know who you are. It's less
that and more like, here's my old high school rival, but now we're like 25 years old, we're not rivals anymore.
It's that kind of thing where it's like it's a weird like at this point, like the PlayStation versus Xbox thing is kind of a weird fanboy girl like fabricated kind of thing. There is market competition for sure, but like it's not as direct as it has been. And so like I don't see them doing that like directly. Maybe
it's gauche to point it out. Ways.
Yeah, it's gauche to point it out, but then also like I think in subtle ways we could see them talk about like, we can see PlayStation talking about their teraflops, or like the direct talking points that Xbox has talked about so far. I can see PlayStation bringing those up if they're comparable or comparable. Like, we'll see, but I don't know how much of those are going to be like good to bring up in a direct comparison sort of way that's going to make it worth PlayStation kind of making that direct analogy to Xbox.
I'm going to throw this idea out there as like a differentiator. What if Microsoft just went in their conference and also we're going to end Xbox Live Gold? We're converting all the time people have into Game Pass, but if you want to play for free, you can play for free because like we already do it on PC. No point of doing it on consoles. What if they did that and forced Sony to have a response? That's the kind of competition I want to see. Of like, what if we just fuck with each other and not, it's not like, it's not buying exclusives anymore. Like, that's not the way to maintain a console leadership. It's now, what can we do for the consumer in a way that makes the other console have to react?
Yeah. I'm really excited to see when that kind of, this sounds like I'm transitioning. It's not, I'm not transitioning to the out today, but like, I'm excited to see like what those types of things are, because I think that would be like a great, like a great bullet in the chamber for Xbox, right? To be able to be like, hey, we're dropping that. Or to even like further what they've kind of already been doing with Xbox Game Pass in their services. Like, I do think that that's where like the real conversation is. And I guess we'll continue this conversation tomorrow when PlayStation kind of does their whole reveal. But before we get into story number three, I'm going to tell you about our ads, because we're already far into the show. and we don't have many questions, weirdly enough. And so today, we're Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best versions of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help you treat hair loss. Prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. No more awkward in-person doctor's visits or long pharmacy lines. 4hims.com connects you to real doctors online, which can save you hours. Completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that's shipped directly to your door. Right now, my listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. We're also brought to you by Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Fellas, bushes are out, clean is in. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. I've been using Manscaped 3.0 for quite a few weeks now, and I can confirm it's easy to use. The built-in light means better visibility, and I've not had a better razor for that part of the body. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. It's always a nice surprise for you and your partner when you actually see the tree stand taller when you trim the hedges back. I love this ad. Trim that junk of yours and get lucky this St. Paddy's Day. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Once again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GAMES20. Cheers to manscaping your lucky charms.
He's talking about dicks.
They are talking about dick and balls. Number three, Doom Eternal, a Persona 5 Royal.
You guys are absurd.
Well, it's such a nice, innocent ad read. Who would have thought
that it could be legit? Anytime I see the Manscaped ad read, like, I get a smile. Like, I get jolly inside because I know it's going to be a good one. Yeah, it's time for a Doom Eternal and Persona 5 Royal review roundup. Let's start with Doom Eternal. On Metacritic, let's see. For Xbox and PC, Doom Eternal has a 90. For PS4, it has an 87. IGN gives Doom Eternal a 9 and says, simply put, Doom Eternal is one of the best first-person shooter campaigns I've played in years. As the second game of its kind, it's lost some of its novelty, but none of the joy of its intense and furious combat style. This excellent refinement of the already outstanding 2016 reboot makes you an unspoken deal. If you can keep up with it, it will keep up with you. It continually teaches you how to play faster, smarter, and more efficiently, with lots of options at every step of the way to tailor fights to your preferred slaying style. And it's an absolute blast along the way. PC Gamer gives it a 94 and says, Doom Eternal is a ceaseless, panicked nightmare that pushes you to a point and click, with more skill and style than ever before. And then lastly, GamesRadar gives it a 3.5 and says, Doom Eternal is a smart iteration of what came before it Doom Eternal is a smart iteration of what came before it that occasionally stumbles under its own desire to evolve. Imran, we've played Doom Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
We talked all about it on Gamescast, but for the people that haven't listened to Gamescast yet, what's your take on how Doom Eternal is reviewing? What are your thoughts on Doom Eternal?
Like, I think if we had a quote in here, it would have been play it. Like, that should have been the summary of what we talked about. Like, we nitpicked here and there, but by and large, I think we all came down on the idea of Doom Eternal's campaign is one of the best FPS campaigns we've played in a long time.
Yes, I 100% agree. I can see what the IGN review was saying about the novelty, because I kind of felt that also. In Doom, like, by the time I got halfway through Doom Eternal, like, I feel like the specialness and, like, the uniqueness that Doom 2016 kind of had felt kind of lost, because I was like, oh yeah, this is another one of these now. Now there's like more than one of this kind of shooter. That said, the refinements and the ways in which it builds on top of Doom 2016, I think are beautiful, and people should go check out our Gamescast where we talk all about it. Imran, are you ready to talk about Persona 5 Royal?
I am ready to talk about Persona 5 Royal.
So Metacritic, it has a 96, which, Jesus Christ, that's high.
It is high, but like the reviews are, it was less reviewed than I thought it would be, like, not in terms of score, just in terms of outlets.
Yeah, I think we'll see more reviews trickle in. Like, I know GameSpot has theirs in progress. I don't think IGN has theirs up yet. I think it's one of those things where it's such a long game, and I don't know how long reviewers had to review it, and so we'll get more reviews trickling in. But even like starting off at a 96, I think it's pretty wild.
Right.
But the Six Axis gives it a 10 and says, Persona 5 Royal is a stunning game that takes something which has already captured millions of hearts and makes it even better. This is the quintessential Persona experience. If you're new to the franchise, this game is for you. If you're a seasoned veteran, there is enough new and improved content that this game is still for you. DualShockers, their unscored review states, for an updated re-release, Persona 5 Royal is certainly worth the price of admission for newcomers. And if you enjoyed the original and are eager to jump back into the fray, then there's certainly more than enough new content and improvements to justify a second purchase. And then lastly, RPG Site gives it a 10 and says, Persona 5 Royal isn't just my favorite Atlus re-release, it might just be my favorite Atlus game of all time. I've spent the last many days of my life playing this game nonstop, and I never expected Royal would have been good enough to suck me right back in. The original Persona 5 was one of the comfiest games I've ever played, and Royal's effort to add significant quality of life improvements on top of that is impressive. There are so many little details that Royal adds that I wasn't even able to cover. I was blown away that the game somehow would keep keep surprising me with new features, even as far as 50 hours in. The entire game is just Persona 5, but more. If you love Persona 5, as I did, then Royal will completely blow you away. Imran, I've also been playing Persona 5 Royal. I've not been playing much of it because I've been spending most of my time with Doom Eternal, but I can say that I played probably like 30 minutes of Persona 5 Royal so far. And even
0.1%
like
of the game.
Yeah, like legit like 0.1% of the game. And even in just that first 30 minutes, I noticed things that had changed and things that were new that made me go, oh snap, like this is really cool. Like I didn't know how much I would play for the first like, or I didn't know how much Persona 5 Royal was going to play in general, because Persona 5, long game. I love Persona 5, but like it's not necessarily like the type of game that I'm looking forward to playing over again. But So far, I'm looking forward to like seeing what's new, because it seems like so far there is a lot that's new, which is exciting to me.
Have you reviewed a lot of games out of curiosity?
No. Well, I've reviewed quite a few, but like for OK Beasts, we reviewed games here in there, but mostly we play them for podcasts.
Okay, but like, I guess the idea is, do you think this game should be reviewed as an entire, like, is this Persona 5 plus new things, or are you just reviewing the new things? Because I feel like there's value in both kind of reviews, and all the reviews I've read so far are, here is the entire package reviewed, and to that, I definitely think a 10 is warranted. But if we're just talking about the new things, I'm curious where, or what people think from that angle.
Yeah, there's definitely value in both reviews, because there are going to be people that are playing Persona 5 for the first time through Royal. And so, like, if I'm just at a store and I'm like, I'm going to look up a review of this Persona 5 Royal game and I haven't played a Persona game before, then, like, I feel like that value for a review to review the game as a whole definitely, like, you know, is valuable in that moment. But yeah, in terms of reviewing Persona 5 Royal as what the new content is, it's a hard balance, because like the history of the Persona games, like Persona 4 Golden, for example, right? Like I came into Persona 4 Golden for the first time, but I hadn't played the original Persona 4. And from what I know, right, like the changes were significant, but like if I went and played Persona 4, I'd probably still enjoy it probably around the same amount. Like,
right.
Like how much do the changes really change in the full experience? Yeah, it's a weird thing, and I don't even know. I don't know if there's like a right answer to it.
Yeah, to be clear, I'm not saying there should be like a single answer for every reviewer. I'm just kind of curious.
For sure.
Like, I want to see that perspective as well.
Yeah. Number four, Sakurai has revealed the Smash Brothers DLC work has been affected by coronavirus. This comes from Andy Robinson of the Video Games Chronicle. He writes, work on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's DLC has been affected by the ongoing coronavirus outbreak, director Masahiro Sakurai has revealed. Writing in his latest Famitsu column, the designer said he recently had to delay a presentation to Nintendo on DLC development due to concerns around the virus. Even if Nintendo was able to continue its marketing efforts for future character reveals, it's likely development will be slowed by the outbreak, Sakurai wrote. The game director and his team are currently working on Ultimate's second DLC character roster. So I included that because we've had questions before about like game delays and like should we worry about Doom Eternal or like games that are coming out when it comes to the coronavirus. And I think what we kind of came down on was like games that are already like here, like you don't really got to worry about like Doom Eternal is going to come out, Animal Crossing is going to come out, like games that are imminent are going to come out. But
I'm honestly kind of worried about some of them on it, like some of the April releases. I think they'll still come out, but
we're at the point where maybe into next month and 2 months from now, that's when we have to start being like, okay, let's see how these go.
Yeah,
because Greg made the salient point, I want to say on Friday or Thursday, that like work from home can definitely affect like the how fast games get developed or how progress is made. Depending on like what the work from home infrastructure is for certain studios, like certain studios have it down, obviously, given like I forget what article was we read last week, but like there's studios that were like, we know how to work from home. I think it might have been Bungie or something like that. They're like, we know how to work from home, but that's not necessarily like a set standard across the industry.
And yeah, so, I mean, like, also there's next gen games being developed. Like, do they all get to take dev kits home? I assume not, because those things are NDA'd to hell and back. Or like there's a bunch of games that are being, they have outsourcing studios in China that obviously are not working right now. And a bunch of them have outsourcing studios and just general other places that probably aren't working right now. Like it's a question of, yes, I think a lot of games are going to get finished, but I don't think there's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff we're just not going to hear about that is absolutely going to get pushed.
Yeah. And so I think we'll start for sure seeing those ripples. Like, I mean, we might start seeing them immediately, but for sure we'll start seeing them like late in the year or early next year. And like, when I say see, like we might not even know, like it'll probably be games that like haven't been announced yet or games that haven't announced dates yet that get pushed behind the scenes. But
yeah,
that's, we're definitely going to see this affect game timelines when they come out.
I mean, it's like I was saying the other day, like maybe Resident Evil 3 should be delayed. Not because I think the game's not done. It's obviously done. It's obviously gotten gold by now. But like one, it's a weird thing to release like in the middle of a global pandemic, the idea of escaping a lockdown city that's currently undergoing a zombie virus. But also like people can't go to the store and buy games right now. Like they can obviously play them digitally, but people aren't going to buy those retail copies when they come back, when the stores open up. They're, you can't really ship to stores because who's going to like actually buy them, or who's going to like pick up the copies of the stores and put them on shelves or like accept shipments. Best Buy, their whole online infrastructure for buying and selling online was that they would be able to ship from stores directly to like local shipping addresses. They can't do that now because no one's working in the stores. So a lot of like online infrastructure is going to get hit too for physical copies. Does this mean that we're going to get a complete shift to like a PSN store and the Steam and all that? Maybe. But honestly, I could see a lot of people, just a lot of publishers just thinking, what if we just delay a little bit? Because this, as bad as this gets, I think it'll probably clear up at some point. But by that point, how much money are you really losing?
Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens. Because I think like, yeah, with digital and with game delivery, that is now like, we'll see how deliveries go over the next couple months. But like, I'm with you that it's going to get pretty weird over the next couple of months to see how things kind of progress.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think we all need to figure out what our contingency plans are in that case.
Yeah. In the same way though, that like Resident Evil 3, like, could maybe get delayed because of what the content was. Like I tweeted this last night that like, or maybe it was two nights ago, that I would love like the timeline where Death Stranding came out, like say like this month as opposed to 5 months ago, to see like what the conversation around that is like. Because like weirdly enough, there are quite a few games that are either out this year or that have been released recently that kind of have themes of pandemic, like Ghost Recon, or no, not Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six Quarantine. Yes. I think was supposed to come out in spring, but it then got delayed with all the Ubisoft delays, and like that would have had to be a whole conversation. Like
I mean, like look at the Japanese tsunami from about 2011, where there were games about tsunamis. Disaster Report was supposed to come out the week after. They canceled it, and it literally killed the studio. Because they had to cancel a game that was ready to go because it was not tasteful to release it that week. Granted, it's not that bad. And I see chat saying, like, things are still open. They're still open right now. I think the way San Francisco is right now is probably the way most of the country is going to go in the next couple of months. And if that's the case, then yes, stores are not going to be open. And that's going to be a larger problem than just you can't go to the store. It's going to affect a lot of things.
Yeah. Number 5. Gamescom prep continuing as planned despite Cologne event ban. This comes from James Blatchler at gamesindustry.biz. The organizers of Gamescom are confident the show will be held this August as planned, despite a current ban on major events in its host city of Cologne. In a statement shared via Twitter, the team assured that it is taking the ongoing outbreak of novel coronavirus COVID-19 seriously and, quote, the health of all trade fair visitors and partners is our top priority, end quote. On March 10th, the city of Cologne banned all major events with more than 10,000 attendees until April 10th. Gamescom 2019 attracted 373,000 people. However, Gamescom 2020 is due to run from August 25th to August 29th, so the organizers believe the event will be able to continue. Quote, We will, of course, follow the recommendations of the responsible authorities regarding major events, evaluate them on a daily basis, and make our decisions after careful consideration, the statement reads. The statement continues, the preparations for Gamescom 2020 are continuing as planned according to the current state for the determined date, end quote. The team assured that if host venue Colmes opts to cancel or postpone, I don't know if I pronounced that right at all.
I'm going to assume no, but whatever. We're not German.
Opts to cancel or postpone Gamescom, all ticket purchases from the official ticket shop will be refunded. Concerns around COVID-19 have already led to the postponement of GDC and cancellation of E3, making Gamescom the next major games event in danger of being affected by the pandemic. And this update came this morning. Tandem Events has also confirmed it is preparing Develop Brighton with the hopes of running as scheduled. The company is monitoring the situation closely and taking advice from Public Health England, but since the conference is due to take place in July, it believes it will be safe to host the event. If Develop Brighton is canceled, Tandem will offer refunds on all passes. Imran, do you have any hot takes on the Gamescom thinking that this thing is going to happen in August?
I admire the optimism. Like, I really want PAX to happen, and PAX is not that long after that. But
yeah, same.
If there's any story that is the okay Jan GIF in a nutshell, it's this. Like, who knows? If you asked me a month ago if we'd be in the situation we are now, I would have told you you're crazy.
Yeah, but like, no.
Yeah, this is like, you can't. I would not predict August right now. I understand what they're doing, and they're saying, like, we're not ready to cancel this quite yet, because they do have, like, they do make money off this sort of thing, and also it's a big event. But, yeah, no, like, just say nothing right now. Like, yeah. You can't just say you're monitoring the situation. That's the best you can do.
I think a part of it, I want to say they opened up ticket sales last week. I think it was, like, the day that E3 got
But those
canceled.
Sales are going great.
Was the day that they opened up ticket sales for Gamescom. And I think it's a thing where they're getting out here with this messaging because they want to be able to advertise ticket sales and be able to try and go business as usual as they monitor the situation. But it is one of those things where, like, I read their statement, I see what they're doing, and I'm like, we'll see, man. Hopefully, like, I hope refunds are, like, a thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it seems like it says here, yeah, all ticket purchases from the official ticket shop will be refunded. And so, like, that's good. At the very least, like, yeah, keep that door open.
Have you ever been to a Gamescom or, like, no. seen video of it?
Video of it.
On the public days, it's a sea of people. Like,
it is. It's ridiculous.
You don't even have elbow room. If you were trying to cough into an elbow, you would be coughing into someone else. Yeah. Like, there's no way, if coronavirus is even still, like, slightly dangerous or contagious, and it will be, like, we're not going to solve this. Vaccination for Ebola came like 2 years ago, not like and that thing was a problem during the Obama administration. Like, mm-hmm. It's you're not going to be able to solve COVID in the next couple of months. I don't see a way that Gamescom 2020, at least the way they usually hold it, is going to exist.
Imran, I'm excited to see what happens with Gamescom 2020, but that is so far away. Because it might be in 2021. But if I wanted to know what's coming to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Overpass for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Kamiko for PS4, La Mulana 1 and 2 for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, RBI Baseball 20, for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. MLB The Show for PS4. I wonder if they purposely released those on the same day, because that seems like a bad strategy for RBI Baseball. But
I think it's purposely on RBI Baseball's part, not on MLB's.
You think they get more sales when they're the same day?
I think there are people who don't own a PS4 that want, like, a baseball game. Yes. This is also, I think, the last MLB exclusive art, The Show exclusive to PS4, so yeah, that strategy is not going to work in the future.
Because I think the phrasing in the press release was, like, as early as 2021, we'll see MLB The Show for other consoles. So probably expect this to be the last one.
They have dev kits now, so they're definitely probably working on new stuff.
And then we have Kingdom Hearts All in One Package is out today for PS4. Imran, what is that? Is that not just Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5 HD Remix?
Plus 3 plus, I want to say the DLC. Yeah. It's all Kingdom Hearts content, basically. It might not include the DLC. I'm sure Nanobiologist will, like, tell us if you're wrong in a second. But yeah, I feel like they could have come up with a better name for that thing. Like, maybe that was the simplest name they ever put on a Kingdom Hearts product.
It really is. Yeah. They should have called it like 3.0 or something like that. Like something stupid.
Kingdom Hearts 10.0.
Oh my god. Night Swap is out today for Switch. Rainbow Toilets and Unicorns is out today for PS4. Apocalypse Wow. Wait, let me say that again. Apocalypse Wow for PC and Mac.
It's a collar tugging title.
Yeah. Pillars of Dust for PC. Beardy Mix Strong Arm for PC. Zombie Mutant DNA for PC, and then Golf Extreme is out today for PC. And then also Exit the Gungeon is out today for Switch.
Yeah.
New dates. Green and Orc's Life is out today on Switch. And then Riot Games, the developer and publisher of League of Legends, today announced that Teamfight Tactics will arrive in the App Store and Google Play on March 19th, 2020. And then also for new dates, all the indie world stuff happened, and so there's a new date in there. I didn't copy it over because I did not have time, but
it's all like spring, summer, that like nothing's very specific.
Yeah, it's like most of it is 2020, but yeah, and not much of it was an exact date. I think there's something that's out March 19th possibly from the indie world, but maybe you're wrong. Yeah, I don't know. Then deal of the day, this Thursday, March 19th, all Able Light games on the App Store will be 99 cents. This includes Hyper Light Drifter. So get on that. Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And we already read ads, and so I don't got to go through that again. Evan from Indiana wrote in and says, "Hey KFGD crew, I wanted to write in to comment on the news of yesterday's Xbox proprietary storage requirements. I think this is a massive mistake on their part and probably Sony's if they follow suit. And I really don't understand why they chose this route. While I haven't seen any of the benefits of this super fast storage besides the Spider-Man demo, to me, a normal SSD would do just fine to improve loading times without the extreme cost. 1 terabyte of storage costing $250 is ludicrous when games can easily be 50 to 100 gigabytes. I upgraded my PS4 HDD or hard drive to 2 terabytes to 2 terabytes years ago for $80 and never regretted it. While my friends with the standard 500 gigabytes hard drive are constantly having to delete and reinstall games. While this proprietary storage would certainly load faster and perform better than PC hardware due to its custom nature, I don't agree at all that it's worth the massive cost that comes with it. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Keep up the great work." Imran, I saw you tweeting a little bit about the proprietary hard drive yesterday. Do you have any thoughts?
So I got a number of responses to that, and like, it does seem from Microsoft's perspective, they seem to think that games should be targeting the specific speed for their existing storage. And the way it's made, I'm not a technical guy, but it seems like it has to target this or the games just won't run the same way. You can still use USB storage in the background to transfer stuff in and out, and it will also handle Xbox One and earlier games, but it does seem like it'll all depend really on how well you can transfer from USB to the existing storage and how fast that process is. If it takes like 5 minutes, then maybe it's not a huge deal. If it takes even less than that, then great. How they're going to handle the overall adding new storage thing, if it's even a thing that people really want or need, is another open question. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as we think it is. I think it's probably going to be I think people just started to deal with like, yeah, I only have 1 terabyte and that sucks, but like, we'll live. As time goes on in the generation, maybe prices fall down, maybe that stuff gets cheaper. We'll have to see. This is when I'm excited to see this technology at work. I don't think it's going to be as bad as we think. But I hope like the technology makes whatever trade-offs we make for it worth it.
DH Canada writes in and says, What is up, Greg and Tim? This is probably for yesterday, but I took it for today because I like this question. Or who is that, whoever is able to figure out this work from home thing. So the Sony slash Kojima slash Konami rumors are even crazier now, with Sony allegedly trying to buy multiple IPs from Konami. Does this make it more or less believable for you guys? Also, if it is true that Sony is buying up IP that is no longer being used by different publishers, what IP would you want them to buy next? I'm hoping if it is true, and with their history of remakes plus the relationship with Square, someone finally gives us what we want. Hashtag remake the bouncer. Stay safe, everyone. Thanks, DH Canada. Imran, have you heard about these rumors?
Yes.
The Konami Sony rumors?
I think it's bullshit.
it's evolved in such an interesting way, because it started off last week as just Silent Hill and Silent Hills.
Yes.
And me and Greg talked about it, and both of us were excited about it. With the caveat that, like, we're taking it with a huge grain of salt because it sounds too good to be true. But the idea of Sony approaching Konami to license out Silent Hill so that they can make two different, like, a Silent Hill game and a Silent Hills game doesn't sound too crazy, but it is one of those things where it's like, we'll see. Now the rumors have elevated to a place where people are talking about them approaching Konami for Metal Gear and Castlevania and other things. And it sounds like, now it sounds like way too good to be true. And now I'm just like, I don't necessarily buy any of it.
No, yeah, that's too far. I think the Silent Hill stuff is rooted in reality. I think there was I don't remember the guy's name, but it was an indie developer that was remaking PT on PC. And he was doing such a good job that Konami, like, called him and offered him a job. It was like, hey, do you want to come work with us? At the time, that developer said that Konami explained to him they were going to get back into video games and they wanted to get back in a big way. In that sense, I believe the Silent Hills coming back rumor or Silent Hill in general coming back rumor to be true. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, of Sony trying to buy IPs, why would they do that? Like, they don't benefit from buying IPs directly. They would benefit from licensing them out or licensing them from Konami. Konami doesn't benefit from selling them, especially, like we said, if they're intending to get back in a video game at some point. They would make more money from bad Metal Gear games than they would from selling the IP to Sony. Also, Sony doesn't buy IPs. They buy companies. They would buy Konami outright, and Konami does too many non-game things to do that. And Konami doesn't separate. It's so confusing that absolutely I don't believe that extra part of the extra part of the rumor seems like fan wish fulfillment of what if Sony bought Castlevania? What if they bought Metal Gear? And it's like, yeah, sure. What if Nintendo bought Bomberman or anything like Nintendo funded Bomberman, actually. Like, it's... That's the way it's probably going to work. Of if Sony wants this as an exclusive, they'll pay money to have it as exclusive. They won't go, no, we don't trust you guys with this. We're going to buy the IP and do it. It's happened before. Like, it's not without precedence. Microsoft bought Gears of War from Epic, but Epic was done with it. Epic was not going to make another Gears of War game. This is a mostly different situation. That seems to be built on the idea of, I would love if Sony did this, and also fuck Konami. And yeah. I don't think those two things are as rooted in reality as people think they are.
Yeah. What do you think of the idea that if this Silent Hill stuff turns out to be, like, true, and PlayStation does license out the IP from Konami, do you think that then opens the door for Metal Gear and like, an actual partnership with PlayStation and Konami going forward that then kind of turns into this dream scenario of, like, Castlevania coming back and all these different Konami IP?
I mean, if in that situation, yes, theoretically, if it's a big success, Konami would be like, yeah, let's keep doing this. And if it's a big success, Sony would want to keep doing it. I just don't see a situation where Sony does that and doesn't just do their own game instead. Like, why would you make a Castlevania when you already own Bloodborne? Like, the Castlevania name doesn't have that much cachet. It's huge, I guess, but not that huge. Like, not enough to warrant the cost.
Yeah. Now it's time for kindafunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong during the show. I should say we didn't have a squad up because nobody wrote in with a squad up. And so, of course, if you want a squad up, also write into patreon.com/kindafunnygames with your squad up. You can play games with the community. Let's see here. And You're Wrong, Nail Ball just writes in and says, Panic published Untitled Goose Game. Annapurna did publish What Remains of Edith Finch. Let's see here.
Devolver announced Enter the Gungeon has the gun dead arcade cabinet with light guns at E3. So that's what we were thinking of.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Yes. Gotcha. Nayla Ball just writes in with breaking news, which I think I saw during the show. GameStop cancels midnight release events for Animal Crossing and Doom.
Good.
Let's see here. Nail Biologist says, Kingdom Hearts all-in-one package does not include DLC, but it does include the 2.8 final chapter prologue. This is previously available digitally leading up to 3's launch for $100 and gave people a pre-purchase of 3 for the PS4.
Sure. Great. Do that thing then. Include it in the package.
Because that would be $60 for Kingdom Hearts 3, but then $40 for 2.8.
The DLC was like $30 to $40 already. Like if you bought the concert with it. And it's not DLC that's worth that much. Like I don't dislike it, but it's not worth that much.
Let's see.
Exit the Gungeon.
Says Exit the Gungeon is also on PC today.
Yeah.
So, and then Mistate Spawn is out for early access in MK11 today as well. And then I think that rounds us out because all this other stuff looks like just clarification. And that's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This week's hosts, because Greg did the whole this week's host thing, and it's changed since then. So this week's hosts are for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's me and Tim. And then Friday, it's Greg and me. Of course, we're on a work-from-home schedule currently. And so if the vibe seems different, that's why. I'm in my apartment, or not even apartment. I'm in my room just chilling, got the space heater on. I saw
chat talking about your Harry Potter bed.
Yeah, chat was talking about that during the thing. And then like also last night we did a stream test and chat was saying that I looked like a cam girl because of how my setup looks because I'm sitting next to my bed, I guess. I don't know. And so imagine that. Put that in your mind.
I'm going to never do that.
Chat, put that in your mind. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.